Blog Talk Radio.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. Philippians 1.
Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk Collective. Welcome to the program this evening. It is June the 6th, 2019. We thank God for another day, for another opportunity to come on and share and encourage the brethren out there. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you called in, it's 646-668-2636. You can press 1 on your keypad and join the conversation, share your insights, wisdom, and ask any questions. Also, www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. If you're online there, thank you. Thank you for joining. Thank you for coming on and listening in to us tonight. If you go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, we're monitoring that. If you have any questions you want to propose to add to the discussion, you can hit us up on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. That's Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm over with prayer. We're going to get right into the conversation tonight. Let me talk to my brother here. Praise the Lord. Elder Mark, can you hear me,
blessed,
sir?
Yes, sir. Bless God. How are you, sir?
Wonderful, wonderful, brother. Thank you for taking time to join us tonight and being part of the conversation. Amen.
Amen. It's always a blessing to be able to join, and I thank you so much for the opportunity.
Amen, amen. Well, we're going to open up with prayer. Father God, we say thank you today, God. We thank you for a new day, a new opportunity, Lord God. Father, we thank you for today, oh God. It's the end of the day, Lord. The sun's going down, Father, but we thank you for today. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you today, God. Thank you for letting us be salt and light in this culture, Lord God. And thank you for the people that we touch today. Father, we thank you for the struggles for today. We thank you for the challenges, the trials, the temptations, oh God, that we made it through, Lord God. So, Father, we say thank you, God. We thank you for the gift the Holy Spirit lives in us. Even when we were challenged, even though we were pushed, oh God, we remember who we were and whose we are, oh God. So we say thank you again for this day, God. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. Father, today I'm going to lift up children, oh God. I'm going to lift up all the children, sons and daughters, Lord God. Father, I want to lift up marriages to you, Lord God, husbands and wives, oh God, who are in the midst, oh God. We thank you for them, oh God, that they will continue, oh God, to love one another and encourage one another, Lord God. We're going to lift up the leaders, the church leaders, the elders and the deacons, apostles, preachers, bishops, all those who are laboring to serve, educate, and edify and grow the body of Christ, Lord God. We pray for those who pray, intercessory prayer warriors, Lord God, who pray for those in need, who pray because you speak to their hearts for them to pray for the saints, for the church, oh God. So we ask, oh God, that you will watch over them, God, and strengthen and keep them and give them an insight to know when and how to pray, Lord God. So, Father, I say thank you, God. I thank you for my brother, oh God, if you took time out to join us tonight. Thank you. You bless him and his family and those that are connected to him. And, Father, we just say, again, thank you for allowing us to be your children, to be your sons and daughters, oh God. And we wait for the day when Jesus Christ returns, oh God, that we will be raptured up to spend eternity with you. We thank you, we bless you, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, first of all, I have to give a shout out and what do we say, reverence for reverence is due. Tonight we're going to be talking about some of the talking points and discussion and some of the insights that were shared at the recent Jesus Lived Ministry Marriage Retreat. It was held back on May 31st to June the 1st. Presented with Pastor Joseph and Linda Powell from he's the senior pastor at Covenant Life House Ministries, and Pastor George Sharp is the senior pastor at Jesus Lives Ministry. Amen. I just want to give a shout out to them. And for those out there, if you couldn't make it, this is an annual event. We already have works in place for next year. We're just waiting for a date. We'll probably know a date right around after the holidays. It's usually in January. We lock in the date and everything and send out the information and requests. So stand by for that. If you go on Issues Christian Men's Talk, if you go on Issues Christian Men's Talk page, you can like us there, send me a request, send me a message, and we'll be able to get your contact information, and we'll let you know when the next retreat is so you can get on board. Amen. Make your down payment, make your payment plan, and be part of it. Amen. But tonight, I just wanted to touch on some of the highlights and encourage those out there. I have put a message out there. We titled on this. This is Husband's Class 201. And I did that because I wanted to talk to, we want to talk to husbands. Because as we know, marriage is a lifelong marathon event. This is not a sprint. It's not you're going to have a perfect marriage, and your marriage is not going to stay the same as it was when you first got married. If you believe that, you are living in a fantasy, romantic fantasy. But that is soon change. As long as you live long enough, and you'll see the change. Amen? So when I reached out to the brothers and I was sharing, I said, for those who have been married between 5 and 15 years, because this is marriage 201, not 101, 201. This is going to do husband class here for the next season. Amen? Because I picked those years on purpose because, you know, even within the body of Christ, those seem like those are a lot of the struggle years. I look back on my own marriage, and that 5 to 15 years, some people might think that's a big segment. But in our lives, you know, 10 years, 5 years, 10 years, it moves so quickly. You know, I personally been married over 30 years. I met my wife in 1977, and I can still remember the stuff we did when our kids were small, how we met, and all of that. But now I'm looking at the other end of it. So, and I look back between 5 and 15 years was where a lot of challenges come in. And for those brothers and sisters who are listening one day who may be on their second marriage, because now you come into a marriage with a whole other situation and circumstance because you were married before, it didn't work out for whatever reason, and now you're in your second marriage. Maybe your first marriage you wasn't saved, and now in your second marriage you are a man of God, you're giving your life to Christ, and now you're finding, you know, some of the same stuff is coming up. But now we want to point you to the Word of God and what the Word of God says to help you get it through. Because I think it's very important in marriages that we look to encourage one another. Because if the church doesn't encourage marriage, if the church doesn't speak about marriage, if the church doesn't provide the resources to help strengthen couples who may be struggling, you know, there's a lot I want to say about that. Because even in the midst of Issues Christian Men's Talk and our Man Up Ministries, the Coalition of Men's Ministries, I personally, that God put on my heart, because between men and marriage is where the church can be stronger. And I think that is the foundation of the church, where strong men, strong Christian men, and strong Christian marriages can be the real foundation of any ministry and of the body of Christ. Amen. But we're going to get right into the conversation. I'm not going to go into all, because I do want to make opportunity for those who called in. If you press one on your keypad, and then we can bring you in. You can ask any questions, insights, and share. Well, Elder, I'm going to start off with, let's talk about how important is in marriage when we talk about sacrifice, compromise. That it's not what I want, but it's what God wants. And I think that begins there. Because let me say this, brother, before I go. For everyone who's listening, I'm coming to this myself as someone who believes, who is a Christian and believes in Jesus Christ and believes the Word of God as God's truth, and there's no error in His Word, and His Word is the measuring stick, the chalk line, the blueprint for our lives. So that's where our perspective is coming from tonight. If you believe the Word of God has instructions and gives you guidance within marriage. So, bro, what do you say? It's not what I want, but what God wants. What do you think about that, sir?
Well, so that's the truth in any aspect of our lives, and especially as we talk about marriage, is what God wants. God ordained marriage. He blessed. He gave woman to man. Because he said that man should not be alone, and we'll go further in the scripture, so I'm not going to hop into that. But yes, definitely, we have to realize that God has to be a part of everything. God has to be a part of our marriage for us to make it through. Like, because if we just live on what the world tells us, we fall victim to the tricks of the enemy, and of course, our marriages fall short. The blessing, the covenant that we're called to have under God, the vows that we say before God, all those things are promises to more than just the person you're standing in front of, the person who you put the ring on, the woman whose finger you put the ring on, or vice versa. It's really about a promise to God that you are going to cherish this person that He has decided to bless you with. It's more than just a commitment. It's a covenant. And I think if we understand the difference, we have a desire to live our lives and to do more in our marriage, a stronger commitment in our marriage, a desire to have a better marriage, to do more for one another, especially as we stand as men, to do more for the queens that we've been blessed with. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir, I agree. And I think that again, the blueprint and foundation of marriage. Because we know that marriage was God's ordained and designed by God. And from, again, you know, from a Christian perspective, we know that the marriage is God's reflection of the gospel. Because the church, the body of Christ, is called the bride of Christ. And what has Jesus Christ done for our church? but given sacrificial. He submitted himself unto the will of God for the benefit of the church, which is represented by his bride. So husbands, item number one in husband class 201, our sacrifice for our wives, our commitment to our wives. What do we, are we committed as Christ was? I believe the scripture talks about we ought to love our wives as Christ loved the church. The marriages that were, you know, that we have to live here on earth sometime with our marriages. And it may be a struggle. And it may be ups and downs. And that's why I talk about, we're talking about from the 5 year to the 15 year. That's when a lot of things can go on. Because even if you got married, because if we do the math, most young people may get married in their early 20s. So within 5 or 10 years in, may have one child, maybe two, depending on what your career field was. You know, depending, a lot of things start to kick in and lock in, and you start to settle in into marriage. And then sometimes that can bring challenges in itself. Or that can also bring financial challenges, because within 5 and 10 years of a marriage, a lot of things can go on in the economy. A lot of things can go on our jobs, on our careers, you know, and a lot of things come into our hearts and minds that can distract us. And without God, without a strong biblical foundation, I think that's where a lot of marriages struggle. I say that because I witness a testimony of marriages that have come apart at 10 years, 9, 10 years, 15 years, you know, and because for whatever reason, you never know what the reasons are, however, but I know that marriages have come to an end. What do you say, sir, about the critic that 10 or 15 year cycle? How do you feel about that?
Well, I am going into 12 years, and it is definitely, I am blessed to have a queen beside me, and we grow every day with God, keeping God the center of our marriage. And I see so many people around me that were married and that are, you know, my age that are married around the same time, and when they don't have God in, there's just so many issues and problems. And of course, we all know there is no perfect marriage. So everybody, I mean, we're just tried as humans, as people, we are tried. Like you said, it's the financial issues. It's the raising of children. It's the careers that push and pull, the stress of life, the monotony of every day. All of those things try you. All of those things push you. But especially in those, like you said, those 5 to 15. I know I'm in the midst of some things that, when you get married, everyone has the dream of the white picket fence surrounding the green grass that's, you know, coming up to the house with the wraparound porch and the dogs and the kids running around and everybody smiling and happy. But then the reality hits that you got to have the job to pay for the money to afford those things. You got to be in line financially. You got to be, and life just has to be right for it to be a dream. Everything isn't always perfect. But when you have the ordained one beside you that God created for you, that God blessed you with, 5 to 15, 15 to 50, God's going to carry you through and continue to love on one another just as Christ loved the church. We are called to love the women we're beside. Just as Christ sacrificed, we're called to sacrifice. Sometimes, you know, we as men, we always say, I want this and I need this and I want this. If you take the time to realize the things you want will come when you're willing to sacrifice and give up you being first. Put your family first the way God put us first, the way Christ put us first. Put your family first and see the reward of your family acknowledging you as the king in your household as you stand to worship God, and they will follow you in your praise of God. In your growing, they will grow. Your household will grow. Your wife will grow. Your children will grow. Everything about your life will be expounded. Not to say that you won't suffer, not to say that it won't hurt, won't be uncomfortable, but as you go through, God's going to take you to a different place, a different height, a better understanding. And it's just an enjoyable time when you put God in it. and you celebrate God each and every day with the people you've been blessed with. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir, and I agree. And then, you know, we have to understand that our spouse is God's gift. You know, if we go all the way back to Genesis, that God presented Eve to Adam. You know, so it was ordained. It's a God-ordained thing. That's one of the other things we have to understand. You know, let me say this. You didn't necessarily choose your spouse. Your wife didn't necessarily choose you, but it was a God-ordained thing. So he made it that your life path will cross, your lives will come and connect, that y'all will connect on a level of intimacy, of understanding, and things will just click, and y'all be able to build a family together. That's what God does, truly. Especially if you were in the church when you got married, even if you were not in the church. Because remember, God sees all. He sees the beginning and the end. He's omnipresent, and he knows all things. So he can see down the road. You know, I think back to my own marriage, you know, because back in the 70s, 80s, when we first, we never knew where we were going to be 2019, you know. So for any of you who have been married between that 5 and 15, you never know what God's going to do in your marriage, in your family, in the next 20 years, you know, in the next 25 years, because you don't know. But God does know, and God, all God asks you to do is to see your spouse as a gift, to understand that God has a plan for you and your wife. Because, I mean, Elder, you said something, too, that I wanted to bring back to. A lot of folk get into the rat race, the career rat race. They want to get everything now. They're running to try and be a millionaire. They're trying to be a mogul, an icon, whatever. A lot of stuff, trying to gain stuff and things and not spend enough time on the important things. See, that's where balance comes in. And that's one of the things we talk about, especially when we talk to young brothers who are under 30, that you got to understand you're going to live a long time, and it's time for everything. And if you have a family, you have to reorganize and reprioritize. Because like you were saying, Elder, you know, it is about sacrifice for your family. You know, I tell any brother, you know, you got to think about this. Think back. You asked her to marry you. Well, hopefully. I know this new thing going around is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, but hey. You asked her to marry you. All right, I got you, bro. Yeah, I got you. I'm coming right to you right now. I could tell. But, you know, you asked your wife to marry you. You thought about building a family and having children. So you can't, start off that way and then neglect it and just think it's all going to just work out. What do you say, bro, about that? Making your spouse, she's a gift from God, and making her the priority, and how we better manage and believe that our spouse is part of God's plan for our life. Once we take a spouse, a wife, particularly for husbands, because this is husband class 201, once you take a wife, God's plan for you includes your wife. What do you say, sir?
First, let me say wow. In reference to the changes. I don't want to say back in the day and sound like I'm some super old guy or anything, but you know, when I asked my wife to marry me, it was go to her father and mother and ask for their blessing, present myself, and I did so, and then took the time to ask my wife. And even at that point, I believed in God, trusted God, had been raised in the church, but wasn't really in the church. I can say I was in the church, but the church wasn't necessarily in me. But as I'm growing and each and every day growing, I hear so many people talk about how bad their spouse is, how bad their wife is, what she doesn't do, and she didn't do, and she doesn't do this. And sometimes you ask the question, didn't you know that when you married her? When you asked her to marry you, didn't you know the characteristics? Or did you just rush in because you felt like she's the right, you know, let's be real. Maybe it was a more of a physical thing. you know, you fell in love with a physical, or you became infatuated with a physical, and you said, oh, well, I'm going to put a ring on it. And it wasn't about a desire to live a life. It was about, I just want to fit into the status of everybody's getting married. It's the thing to do. But now that you're there, now that you're in it, you start to realize that as we grow, God has a plan. Now, maybe there's some listening that don't really know God. Like you said, there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of us that have been in church, but the church isn't in us. So we don't have some of us didn't or don't have an understanding of God's plan. So let's talk about that. God's plan, each and every day, God knew you before you were a thought. Before you were birthed in your mother's womb, before you conceived, God knew, and there was a plan that set forth even for today. That certain things were going to move, certain relationships, certain interactions, certain falls, certain blessings were going to come to shape you to be who you are today. Now, sometimes there's things where we move around and do, and we think that maybe we're thinking it's a surprise to God, but let me let you know, it's definitely not. There's no surprise to God. God's not shocked in anything that we do, say, attempt to do, or don't do. But in his plan, that woman that you asked to marry you 5 years, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever, now who you seem to be unhappy with, are you unhappy with her, or are you unhappy with who you are to her? That's because we as men have to have a different desire each and every day, a desire to grow stronger, to get better, to be more each and every day. If you live a life to be idle and not desire anymore, then when change happens, when things come about, when situations come about, the tests, the trials that you go through in marriage, whether it's the financial or maybe you are infatuated in the physical and now the physical isn't the same. The intimacy isn't the same. Things are changing. But in God's plan, he set forth this blessed woman to be beside you, and now because you don't like what happened today, you want to give up on it tomorrow. We got to understand that God gave us something that he trusted us with. He trusted us with the woman beside us. He trusted us with that woman we call our wife. And it's our duty as men to be stronger, to uplift her so we can be uplifted. The word of God says that she is our helpmeet, which means she is made specifically for you, specifically for us. That was the plan, that woman beside you is specifically for you. But nurturing and building is our responsibility to do with her so that we can see all the characteristics and qualities that she has to help us see the qualities in us as the men we're ordained and called to be. If that was a little bit too much, I think we need to go back to 101 for some of us. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and tonight we're having Husband 201. This is for those who have been married between 5 and 15 years and those who are on their second marriage. We have to remember what God has called an ordained marriage for. Put the man and the woman together, and it's a plan for their life together, to grow together, to edify, to minister together, to share and raise a family together. And that's basically what we have to do. And I think the only way we can achieve that as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming, and that he died on the cross for our sins, is that we have to put Christ as the focus. The focus of our marriage is Jesus Christ. If we are both living obedient and living and walking, living a life pleasing to God, our marriages will work. And I'm going to say, because I think that's the most simplest marriage thing that I picked up from the weekend and from the teaching from Pastor Paul. If we put Christ in the center of our marriage, if we're both seeking to serve Christ in obedience to his word and his will with the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he is the focus of our marriage, not a focus on our spouse, because remember who our spouse is. our spouse, your wife, is just a sinner in need of redemption, in need of salvation. And without the Holy Spirit, there's no telling what they would do. And that's the thing. And as Christians, this is why we focus on Christ, because if we live a life that's obedient and submitted unto Christ, we won't have a problem. We won't, a lot of the thing, I won't say, I'm sorry, let me change that. It's not that we won't have a problem, but we will deal with it in Christ-like manner. You know, and then, bro, I'm going to come to you with this, because if we leave Christ out of the marriage, then what is our marriage relationship based on if it's not Christ? Because I say that to the unbeliever too. What do you, you know, when you talk to the unbeliever, if you talk, if you know anyone who's having marital problems or they come to you, ask them, what is the foundation of your marriage based on? And if they can't say Christ, that's an evangelism opportunity. Because again, the Word of God gives us the blueprint, the directions, and the guidance for our marital relationships. What do you say, sir, the importance of Christ in a marriage?
Amen. A quick analogy, and I give a shout out to you, my pastor, Apostle Etta Banks. She used this analogy in a discussion we were going into using the 7-Minute Marriage Solutions by Stephen Audeburn. But she made the analogy, and she talked about, you know, a braided cord or like a rope, how it's made. If you take two pieces of twine and intertwine them and just twist them around each other, that's where a husband and a wife or wife and husband are just twisted around and only thinking about themselves, thinking about each other. That's all there is. There's nothing else there. It's just the two of them. Unless there's something that holds that very end of that piece of twine, as soon as you let go, as soon as situations come, as soon as problems come, that stuff starts to unwind. It gets loose. It unties. But if you take those two same strands of twine and you twist them around a third string that wraps through the center of them, at the end, you literally have to untie. You have to work to pull them apart. And that's what we should be with Christ in our marriage. We should be intertwined with our wife, wrapped around Christ. And when you have that three braided cord, the work that it takes, any situation that comes about, there's a fight for it to pull apart rather than a fight to keep it together, as we have Christ in. So that is the importance of keeping Christ in the center of our marriage, keeping God in the center. God is what will hold us together. When everything comes about, just as the word, and not to say a quote of scripture, but not to sound cliche, he is the peace that passes all understanding. So when issues come about, when problems come about, when we're wrapped around, when we're intertwined with Christ in our marriage can go through the storm. Our marriage can go through the situations. Our marriage can be tested in the finance, can be tested in the intimacy, can be tested in the job, can be tested in those around us, can be tested in problems with even other family members, can be tested when the kids aren't acting right, when everything around us is going crazy. You still are held tight because God is there. And through that, you can pull through. You can make it through. Through that, you see even more trust and more support from your wife, from your husband, as you are intertwined with Christ in the middle. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. And I think that's the biggest thing we have to understand. It's a God-ordained thing. It's a God-created thing. And if we, again, if we keep, like you say, if we keep Christ intertwined in our marriage, if we keep it part, it's that glue. It's the glue. I like the braided analogy, but it's also the glue. Jesus Christ is the glue, because again, if we are committed to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to live a life that is pleasing to him, we'll live a life that is pleasing to our spouse. And no matter where you are, now, let me say this too, because there's repentance, there's correction, there's rebuke, there's learning from our choices, our mistakes, whatever you want to call them, is learning, is not giving up, which is all where the Bible speaks to this. Because if we would give up on our faith, then will we give up on our spouse? It's basically the same thing. Because we're going to go through tests and trials. We're going to fail. We're going to fall short. We're going to fall short of what God calls us to be. We're going to get angry, mad. We're going to do something. We backslide, or, you know, all those things. But we don't give up on God. And it's the same thing in our marriages. You're going to go through some challenges. You're going to go through some disagreements, arguments. But we know how to repent. We know how to pray together. Again, because it's more, that's why I say, you know, Christian marriage is more than just going to church. It's about Jesus Christ. I don't say it's about the church. I don't say it's about anything else. If you are a believer in Christ, there's a way that if you engage God and submit to God, then you can be able to engage and submit to your marriage and do what's best for the marriage to survive. I know that may be hard for some, but it's true. It definitely is something true. If we would submit to the things of God, because, again, if you're a man of God and you're obedient to his word, no matter what's going on between you and your wife, the answer's in Scripture, or God is going to work this thing out. Because, again, everything that gains strength has to be tested and stretched and exercised and flexed. So our faith and our love for our spouse sometimes need to be tested. Our faith needs to be tested, because nothing, if it sits there, it's never going to grow past its conception. You know, we always use, I like analogies, I know, God, because you use them too, but, you know, it's going to the gym. It's studying for exams. It's educating yourself. You know, you don't know what you know until you take a test. You could sit through a class. You could take a class, college, high school, I don't care what you're taking, summer school, whatever, or something in your job, career advancement. You don't know how much you know until you're tested. So why don't we take that to our marriages, take that to our relationship with Christ, and know, okay, because again, this is all about growth in our marriages, because we're growing closer to each other, we're growing closer to God and closer to each other. So if we keep God in the mix, in the braid, and as we grow, I think that will save a lot of marriages, especially, again, in this 5 to 15 year. And if your first marriage fell, then you found someone, and you're in your second marriage, don't commit the same. That's a whole other show, bro. The stuff from your first marriage, your first relationship, don't bring it to your second, because if you ain't healed from that, maybe, you know, but. We're not going to go there. That's another show. I need to get a couple passes on here and some marriage counselors. But anyway, amen. Amen. But, all right, bro, we're going to move on. I'm going to move on because I don't want to preach, but I do want to just talk to some points. Because, again, brothers, if you're listening out there, it's just Christian Men's Talk. You called in at 646-668-2636. If you press 1 on your keypad, we can bring you in. You can share your wisdom, insight, ask a question. For all those online at www.blogtalkradio.com/TV Thomas Barr, we thank you for joining us and listening in, and we pray something will be said today will encourage you. And this is Husband's Class 201, and we're discussing some of the highlights of a marriage retreat, but Jesus Lives Ministries Marriage Retreat that was held back in May 31st to June 1st, and was facilitated by Pastor Joseph and Linda Powell from Covenant Lifehouse Ministries. Amen. So, brother, now we're going to talk about the perfect marriage right now. We're going to talk about the perfect marriage. If everybody wants to be perfect, everybody gets married, you get your tux, you get a wedding gown, you get some food, rent a church, pay the pastor, yada, yada, yada. We want a perfect and fairy tale marriage. Let's begin with this. There's no perfect marriages. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, if you believe there's a perfect marriage, you don't know what marriage is, because there's no perfect marriage. You know, I hear the term there's not a cookie cutter. You know, that there's nothing that maps out the perfect marriage. because every day something changes. We as people are shaped by our experiences. I'm always using analogies or something a statement I've heard, and I was blessed to have an opportunity to minister on marriages one time, and I shared with the people, at New Vision for Life, the blessed ministry I'm a part of, and I shared this statement, and I said that the application of logic to stupidity is a futile attempt. But all that to say that, you know, we have to understand that what we think is logical is because of our experiences. Every day, our logic is adjusted because of what we experience. It makes sense because it's how we went through it. But every day, your wife goes through a little something different in her day. So what she thinks may be the logical thing, so sometimes we're not going to agree. What makes sense to her may seem like stupidity to me, but it's logical to her, and vice versa. There's nothing perfect about two people coming together. There's no perfect marriage. But what happens is, as we grow together, we get stronger to deal with the issues and each other's imperfections. That's a part of the growth, is to learn each other's imperfections so that we can grow to be the stronger people that God called us to be. But if you think there's going to be a perfect marriage, that everything works out, that there's no issues, that you just, from day one, there's never a disagreement, there's never an argument, that everything, that the intimacy is perfect every single day, that you love and that you're waking up with a smile and going to sleep with a smile, and you're just, oh, that's a lie. A lie. If somebody has the formula for that, Lord, they need to get buku money, because if you can show that, either you lied to yourself, somebody lied to you, or you just haven't seen the time where you're going to see an issue yet. But to believe that there's a perfect marriage, no, sir, I cannot even fathom. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Well, we're gonna keep moving here, because I want to hit some points here for our listening audience. You know, there's no perfect marriage in living a fairy tale marriage. I mean, we this is marriage 201. So most people, I'm reaching out to them and addressing the people who've been married between 5 and 15 years, and hopefully in that time frame you realize that there's no perfect marriage. Your eyes have been opened, but however, we still are influenced by a lot of things. So I want to touch on a couple of the points that were highlighted and discussed at the retreat. One was the social media dictates what marriage should look like. We know, let me say this, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Remember, people only put the good stuff about their life on social media. I'll just leave that right there. Amen. Every person in marriage is unique, and I think that's something you were talking about too, Elder. We're going to come back to that one, because we have to understand God knew exactly who we were, knows who you are, and knows who your spouse is, and yet he made it that your lives would cross and connect, because he wanted to have your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He had a plan. He sees it. He sees it all. He saw that your parents and grandparents would be together to get to you, to put you and your spouse together, to get to your children and grandchildren. Amen? God brings two people together with a plan, with a purpose, which is more than satisfying emotional, physical, and mental needs. That right there, that was a deep discussion, because we think that our spouse is there for our emotional need, our physical thing, and mentally. But, God, that's not God's purpose for our marriage is bigger than that. If we just support one another in the process of becoming one flesh, becoming in oneness in our marriage, there's a lot of things going to go on that's bigger than that. The next point was a 50-50 marriage is a myth. Now, that one was something that, after 5 years or in between 5 and 15 years, I think most Christian marriages understand it's not 50-50. It takes 100% of you and 100% of your spouse to become the oneness that God is looking for for the two of you. Remember, you were one flesh. And as a husband, you had to put everything into it because, again, the scripture says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Okay? What did Christ do for the church? Christ didn't give 50% to the church for the building of the body. He didn't give 50% for the sacrifice that needed to be made to redeem us back so that we wouldn't spend eternity in hell under the wrath of God. He gave 100%. So even as husbands, you need to start figure out what 100% looks like. I don't care what your wife is doing because we're not talking to her right now. This is a husband class. Are you giving 100% to your marriage and in ways that is pleasing and honoring to God? Marriage is not about we. Marriage is about we instead of me. That goes back to the previous point. As a husband, your marriage is about the two of you, you and your wife. Every decision, every choice, every prayer, every thought, every vision that you have for you is your wife. God gave you your wife for the two of you to accomplish something in the earth, and she's part of everything that you do. You don't go to work and want to be the superstar, whatever you want to be on your job, your career, for entrepreneur. It's your wife. She's in it. She's the automatic vice president of anything, the executives, whatever, the vice president. She's automatically because she's your spouse, period. And ain't no way around that. And number seven, your spouse is a gift from God, and he wants you to delight. He wants you to delight in your spouse. You have to build a marriage relationship where you enjoy being around each other. I'm going to come to you, bro, and you can, on any one of those points you want to expand on, but in this one, we have to understand, you know, I, again, I'm saying it from my own experience. I've known marriages in the church and outside the church where the married couples, okay, let me say it like this. Every person that's listening right now, you know there's married couples that you don't want to be around because every time it's around, there's a spirit, there's something in the room that just feels uncomfortable, that they're just putting up with each other. Or maybe you are that couple where you and your spouse are just at a point, you're just putting up with each other, not really solving none of the issues, none of the problems, looking for counseling and a lot of other things. We're going to get into that soon, but you are the delight in your spouse. Not just stay with her, just because you used just to stay with her. Well, what you think on some of the points we touched upon? Where you want to jump in at?
I was look, the 50%, the 50-50 marriage is a myth. God expects 100%, 100 and 100. It's a definite, man. It's just that's. I don't know how much more plain you can put it, but you gotta give up. You have to put in everything that is in you to make your marriage work. If you come to the table and say, well, I'm only going to give this much, how can you expect the person that's across the table from you to give all they are? I hear, and this is, like you said, this is about the men. We're talking to the men, younger men, that's, you know, those even that may be listening that's thinking about marriage, that say, you know, I'm considering marriage. Those that have been married that haven't been married, the 5 to 15, those that have been married 30 years. In any point, in any place you are, you got to understand, man, if you're not willing to put everything that you have into it, then how can you expect to get everything that you need out of it? That's just like work. It's just like your car. It's just like sports. It's just like the gym. Anything you do, if you want the maximum result, the best result, you got to put more into it. If you want to build more muscles, you got to put more weight on. You got to put more weight on. You got to keep on lifting. You got to keep on pushing. You got to keep on working. You can't go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and then say, oh, well, I'm going to skip again. I'm going to skip until next month and I'll start back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No, you got to go Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got to be in tune and you got to be on that game all the time to get the results that you really want. Now, if you want half a result, If you want half a marriage, if you want a marriage that falls every time a situation comes about, then put in 50%. That's all your desire, that's all you want back is 50%, then do so. But if you want to see, if you really want to see your marriage flourish with God a part of it, you want to see your household flourish, put in everything you have. Put all your energy into it. Don't hold back and say, I'm only going to do this because somebody else only did such and such. If somebody else only put up 50% and that's your reason, then you're living your life based on somebody else. You're not living life. You're not loving your wife if all you're doing is putting in what you establish that she's doing, what you say that she isn't doing. You want to see change? Make a change. You want to see something different? Put in all that you. Make the sacrifice to put in everything that you and get back the 100-fold blessing. You can choose 50-50. You can choose to do half, or you can put in all and see the best results. And recognize, and number seven, your spouse is a gift from God. She is a gift. Sometimes we get a gift and we're pulling off the paper and we're looking like, wow, I didn't know that's exactly what I was getting. But then when we take the time and realize how special that very thing is that we have, that we're holding, and then sometimes we don't realize how special the gift was until we're not able to hold on to the gift anymore. So if you don't see her as a gift and you set her to the side, when you turn around, don't be surprised when that gift isn't sitting beside you anymore. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. And I think that's important. I think one of the things we have to understand, I just wanted to emphasize with the brothers here and the husbands, your wife is unique and different. That's what drew you to her. But if she was like you, I don't think, there's a reason that y'all came together. And your uniqueness and her uniqueness coming together in oneness, it creates a new thing. That's where our families come, our children. Yeah, remember, your parents, they were two individuals and they came together. You may see your parents' marriage in a lot of different ways. You may see it as a good thing, as an example, a role model, or you may see it as a bad thing, depending on how their marriage went. And what you saw and what you see as a male-female relationship. But they were two people who came together. But you, as a man of God, as a Christian, confessed Christian, you have the opportunity of your uniqueness that God created you to be used to make your marriage, you and your spouse, one, and thereby fulfilling God's purpose and plan. Because God has a purpose and plan for married couples, for marriages, because, again, it reflects the relationship between Christ and his church. So I just wanted to encourage and press that point. Amen. Amen. And again, you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farber here with Elder Mark from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, and we're talking Husband Class 201. This is just going to be part one. We're going to continue on, and we're going to cover some more issues and some more highlights of the conference. We are live every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can always call in, again, at 646-668-2636. If you press 1 on your keypad during the program, we can bring you in. You can ask a question, share your wisdom, insight, statements. Or you can also listen to the rebroadcast of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And also there on that page, you'll be able to click on the follow link, and then you'll get an update in your contact when we have new broadcasts or when we are live. Amen? Amen. So, bro, I want to touch on one more thing tonight before we close out. It's one thing I think is very important. We're going to close here. We're going to open with this on the next broadcast. But the importance that we understand that marriages are for better and for worse. We talked about it at several points during the show today about how we grow through our trials, through our adversities, through our struggles, as we draw closer to Christ, draw closer to each other, and overcome some of the challenges of marriage, of building on oneness in our relationship. But we have to also see our marriage relationship, that it matters. And, you know, some of the things we talked about was about the legacy. Again, you don't know what God is using. You don't know what the purpose and plan that God has for your marriage down the road from years to come. If you're in the fifth, between the fifth and the 15th year of your marriage, you don't know how God's going to use your marriage. If you'll endure, if you work it out, what's the plan he has for your marriage in 20 years? Yet your marriage relationship matters now and for generations to come. And maybe not even your blood children. As the body of Christ, we have to be, and again, if we look around at this culture and we look around what the world's going on in the world today, a man and a woman in a committed long-term marriage is going to be, it's going to have to be iconic. And you never know how God's going to use your marriage, because there's children right now that are not born yet that if there is no God honoring marriages around, they may never see them. They won't know what it means. A man and a woman would be, that it would be strange and unusual. And then to say your Christian marriage, how the Bible identifies a Christian marriage. So you never know, again, the culture. Because today we look at couples who have been married 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. When they got married, there was no doubt. For us, there could be a doubt what marriage can look like in this culture. I'm not going to say all over the world, but in this Western culture, a lot of things are rising up and distorting the word of God. It's as simple as that. They're taking the word of God and twisting it to, we got same-sex marriages. We got there's a lot going on. That marriage is going to look totally different. And you never know. Your marriage might be the marriage that has to stand up and say, this is what God ordained marriage from, and we've been obedient to God for years. Because there's a generation that's going to need to see it. And it may not even, like I said before, it may not be your blood children. It may be the culture. You know, your marriage might be the marriage that must be able to stand in the midst of the chaos, the crazy, in these end times. What do you say, sir?
I really believe that as we are going through, we got to understand that our marriage has purpose. And like you said, maybe we're to be the example. Maybe we're to be the one that shows somebody else what marriage is supposed to be like. Maybe we're the ones that were called and created a certain way. You know, we all have a cross to bear. There's many stories of people who realize that their cross was specifically made for them, and in that they grow stronger and see that I'm supposed to go through some things, I'm supposed to see some things, because God made me strong enough, God made me specifically for this. Your marriage is the same. It's planned, it's set. It's something God ordained and created, because he knew that you would be the one that would, your marriage, your covenant would be what would birth the person that may save another life, that may lead someone else to him. So stand strong in what God has blessed you with. Stand strong. It may be hard. It may be uncomfortable. It's sometimes where, like you said, there is no perfect marriages. So there's going to be some arguments. There's going to be some disagreements. But if you stand with God in that tri-braided cord that we talked about, if you stand with God in the midst of everything, in the midst of the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, if you depend on God for direction, then that marriage, no matter what the troublesome waters go, what the troublesome waters are, you're going to go through. You're going to make it through. You do more than keep your head above water when you have God with you, when you have God in it. And you keep on moving forward. I'm just truly blessed that you gave me opportunity. To God be the glory that you are asking me to stand on with you, my brother. And I just pray that as we are learning more in this 201 class on marriage, that the men see, men, I pray that you really see the blessing we have when we're able to say we have a woman beside us that God ordained and placed us in and allowed us to be in a covenant with. Continue to push, my brothers. Continue to push. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Again, you've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. So I just want to encourage those who are listening, all you have called in at 646-668-2636. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of the program and listening in. Again, you can listen to the rebroadcast. I encourage you to click on the link there and at blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, or the most easiest way is the link is posted on our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. Click on the link there, go to the program, share it, play it back, share it with your family, your friends, your brothers, a brother you know whose marriage may need to be encouraged, whatever. And we just want to encourage you again to that hopefully that something that was said tonight would encourage someone to keep pressing on, that would stir something up in your spirit to make you think about your marriage, think about what's going on, and to pray. Pray for the marriages in your local church, in your congregation, in your family, in your neighborhood. Pray for that couple you know is maybe struggling with something. Maybe it's a relationship issue, or maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's a kid issue. You know, we have parents, husbands and wives, who are struggling over their children, trying to figure out what to do. They're concerned about their child because their child's going left or prodigal. But that can also put a test and a strain on a marriage. But again, let's begin to pray for marriages. Let's pray for the biblical marriage of what God ordained for man and a woman, man and a woman, to live together in eternity. Amen. Father, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity, God, to speak encouraging word today, Lord God. Father, for those who are listening, we pray for them in their lives, their spouses, their children's children's children, God. Father, continue to bless them, oh God, and I pray something today was said that will encourage someone not to give up on their faith or give up on their marriage. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother, God bless you.
Amen.
We'll talk soon.
God bless you as well, my brother. Thank you for the opportunity.